Welcome to the FIEC Resources for Church Leaders podcast. You're listening to a seminar from the 2024 FIEC Leaders Conference. For more resources for church leaders, visit fiec.org.uk.
It's a real delight to welcome you here for our afternoon together as women at the FIEC Leaders Conference. Just a few moments ago in the ladies, somebody asked me, what is the percentage of women at this conference? And I haven't quite worked out the percentage, but there are 275 women here out of 1,080. So if anybody's got a little calculator and wants to work out the percentage, you can, or if anybody's particularly skilled at maths, I won't attempt it in my head. Kath might be able to do it. So it's really lovely to have you here. If you haven't met me before, I'm Eleanor McGowan, and myself and Rachel are directors of women's ministry with FIEC. I tend to work more with ministry wives, and Rachel works more with women in ministry, but our roles overlap as well. And it's great to see each one of you here, and we've been praying that the Lord would really bless you as you come. We've had great ministry, haven't we? And what a whole host of wonderful seminars as well that are really informative and helpful to us. We're going to look at God's word now, and I'm going to hand over to Rachel to do that. And if you look at the inside of your leaflet, you'll see what Rachel's speaking on. Thank you.
Sheila stood silently fuming as she read the message on her phone. Sorry, I can't help anymore. Tonight, I'm needed at home. Another volunteer for the ladies' event had pulled out, meaning she was left now setting up everything on her own again. She hadn't even been sure about organizing this event because she knew how busy her diary already was going to be in the weeks leading up to today. However, the others on the team reassured her that they would be around to help and so it would be fine. But as the event drew nearer and nearer, one by one, they all dropped out. And Sheila couldn't help but just feeling frustrated, and especially frustrated at God, because didn't he want the women of her church served well? She couldn't be expected to do it all by herself, could she? She sighed, because if she was really honest, she also felt guilty. The irony of doing a talk on spending time with God while she hadn't consistently spent any time with him herself over the past couple of months wasn't lost on her. Spending time with Jesus always seemed to be the first thing to go when ministry was busy. When it felt like there weren't enough hours in the day, other things seemed to be just the better thing to do. I wonder how familiar that story sounds to you. And I suspect it's not just me who knows that all I need to do is change the name, and I could be honestly telling you about a situation in my own ministry life. We all feel that tension of the busyness of ministry. We all feel those moments where we've got another thing to do and there just seems to be no one else around to help us. And we all know how serving Jesus can very easily become that joyless task. And so the question that we want to reflect on in our time together this afternoon is, well, what can help us serve with joy and with an unhurried heart? And so we're going to read a very familiar passage that I think from God's word, which should help us. It is familiar, and I'm hoping that just as we come to it, we can see afresh what God has to say to us and how his word helps us to see what can help us as we serve. So we're going to read Luke 10, verses 32 to 42. Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by herself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I'm sure we all resonate very much with Martha as we read that story again. And again, as I said, it's familiar to many of us, but as we take a couple of moments to reflect on it, let's ask for God's help to see how Jesus's words can help shape our perspective and our ministry as we think about serving him. So let's ask for God's help just now. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we have both at the conference and this afternoon to reflect on our lives and our ministry. And Lord, we ask for your help to see how we can serve you with joy. Lord, teach us afresh from this familiar passage, and we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. So at this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is in the midst of his teaching and traveling ministry. At the beginning of the chapter, you read how the 72 had been sent out and they'd returned with great stories done in Jesus' name. Jesus has started to have several encounters with the teachers of the law. And along this journey, Jesus arrives with his disciples to a village where a woman opens her home to him. Just imagine that moment. Jesus takes time out of his busy schedule to spend time in your house. He takes time to come to these women, to sit in their home, and to share his teaching with them. It's incredible. This rabbi, with a new authority, performing wonderful miracles, comes to spend time with them. And what is it that they're going to do? Well, let's read again. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Mary, upon Jesus' arrival, drops everything, pulls up her cushion, sits at his feet to listen to his teaching. She stops, she pauses, she comes to Jesus and chooses not to be occupied by anything else. How does Martha respond? She focuses on the work that needs to be done. Her time is filled with the amount of preparation of serving that is required. Luke doesn't tell us exactly what those preparations were. Maybe it was making the dinner, getting the beds ready, helping equip Jesus and his disciples for the next stage of his journey. We don't know. But all we do know is how this serving was making her feel. What is it again Luke tells us? Well, firstly, she was distracted. Verse 40 literally says she was distracted by much serving. And you can just imagine Martha hurrying around her home, starting one job, but quickly moving on to the next before the first one is finished. A quick hello was all that Jesus got before she ran back to start chopping the vegetables, all the while her anxiety levels start to spiral out of control. Nothing was getting done well, but there was so much that she needed to do. She was distracted. But then secondly, her serving was impacting her relationship with others. These are familiar words that she comes to Jesus with, but look at them again. Really pause on them. Feel the weight of the self-righteousness and the self-pity behind them. Jesus, don't you care? Mary has left me to do all the work. She's doing nothing. I'm doing everything. What are you going to do about it? This is unfair. I am always working and no one thanks me or no one notices. Tell her to help. Tell her to work. What an uncomfortable insight there is into Martha's heart and her view of those that she loves. Her sister isn't doing enough. She's idle and she's lazy. In Martha's view, Mary doesn't really care about Jesus, because if she did, Mary would be serving like her. And Jesus, well, he doesn't actually care about her, because if he did, he would see how hard that she was working and get Mary to stop sitting. In that moment, Martha is despising her sister and doubting the love of her Savior. What initially seemed like a good act, serving Jesus, had turned into something ugly and exposed Martha's heart. The primary problem for Martha wasn't the act of her serving. Instead, it was the attitude behind her service. And how then does Jesus respond to Martha's sharp words and accusations? Well, read with me again, verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Luke doesn't record the tone of how Jesus speaks, but I think knowing Jesus' heart, this is not a condemning rebuke, but a soothing, loving reproach. Martha, Martha, slow down, breathe. Let me show you what's really going on. Jesus gently exposes Martha's heart for her. And what is the real problem? She is worried and upset about many things. The work of serving Jesus was preoccupying her mind above all things that she couldn't serve anymore with contentment and joy. She was troubled and anxious, and the busyness of ministry, of serving Jesus, was threatening to overwhelm her. And again, I resonate with Martha, don't you? These are moments that feel familiar. There are some weeks when there just doesn't appear to be enough hours in the day. There's too many people to meet, too many Bible studies to prep, more meetings than you planned, and then that women's event you agreed to host. Throw in what you know will end up being a difficult pastoral conversation and you just spiral. The worry and the upset mount. I may never say it out loud, but there have definitely been times when I've whispered, Jesus, don't you care? Can't you get more people to help me? If only that person would pull their weight, then I wouldn't feel so stressed and worried. But what is Jesus' solution? Surprisingly, it wasn't that Martha needed more helpers to do the work. More people on the rota wouldn't calm her heart. Jesus gives a different answer in his commendation of Mary. He says, Mary has chosen the one thing needed. The NIV translates it as what is better, but the ESV describes it as the good portion, which I think gives us a better idea of what Jesus is actually commending Mary for. And I think Jesus was deliberate in his choice of words there. Throughout the Old Testament, the writers use the phrase the good portion to describe God himself. The writer of Psalm 16 says this, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. While in Psalm 73, we read, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And Jeremiah echoes these same sentiments in Lamentations 3. The good portion, what is it that Mary has chosen? She has chosen the Lord himself. She could have joined her sister in the preparations, but that would have meant saying no to Jesus, the living, breathing man in front of her. She knows who this man is, and she doesn't want to waste an opportunity to spend any time with him. And as Mary chose the good portion of investing her time and listening to Jesus' teaching, she had to choose not to be preoccupied by any other thing. To sit at Jesus' feet meant she had to quite literally get off her own feet, embrace that she couldn't do two things at once, and to decide to do what would be the most spiritually profitable thing for her soul. She ensured that she was fully absorbed in the task of hearing Jesus' voice. And this is exactly what Jesus wanted her to do. He wanted her to sit and listen to him. And this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to sit and listen to him before we serve him. He knows the better thing is to stop, to slow down, and to listen to who? To him. He is our good portion. And I think it is this, Jesus' counterintuitive approach to service, that time with him before anything else guards us against serving without joy. It wasn't that Martha wasn't to ever serve in any capacity, that she was always to be sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus is not denigrating the work of service, and Martha's actions are not wrong. There are many commands in the New Testament about how we should serve one another. Jesus created us to be productive and to serve. But instead, he puts the work of the heart before the work of the hands. Time with Jesus consuming his spiritual food was what would be most beneficial to both Mary and Martha. If Martha had sat at Jesus' feet before doing the preparations that needed to be done, I suspect she wouldn't have been as distracted. I suspect she wouldn't have been as worried and upset. Instead, she would have served with unhurried heart and with joy. Ellen is going to draw our attention to Brian Cross' book, The Unhurried Passer, in a few more moments. But in his book, on this section, when he talks about Mary and Martha, he writes this. Luke is showing us that we first need to be like Mary, then we can do what Martha does with renewed and unhurried hearts. By becoming busy with the good portion of listening to Jesus, we can cultivate an unbusy heart for the other areas God has given us to serve in for the sake of the kingdom. When we spend more time with Jesus, our service is energized and made far more enjoyable. And now, as I said, this is a familiar story. And in many ways, the familiarity of Mary and Martha's story means that me telling you that to serve in ministry with joy means we need to prioritize time with Jesus isn't something new. And if I was sitting in your seats, I might have hoped for me to tell you something different. But I think we need to see how liberating it is to know that the only thing that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, tells us that we must do every day is relate to him and spend time with him. Whatever else is on our to-do list, if we manage to spend time with Jesus, we have done the better thing. We have sought out the good portion, and we can accomplish the one thing that will make the rest of our day better. And I don't want to finish or spend time telling you how to spend time with Jesus every day. Instead, what I want you to go away with, encouraged to see afresh the importance of doing it, and challenge you to find ways to shape your routine about it, and seeing that knowing Jesus really is the better thing. Because again, I suspect if you're anything like me, it is not often how I shape my routine. Do I really believe that that is the one thing that I can do each day that is the better thing and the good portion and will help everything else that I do? Not always. So many other things crowd in and mean I'm distracted and worried and upset. But Jesus wants to say to us, like we've been hearing over the past couple of hours, he is our good shepherd. He has much to say and teach us. And so if we come and sit at his feet, enjoy that good portion, we can then go and serve others and love them like Christ has loved us. Let me pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Eleanor, who's going to lead us in the next part of our time together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father, and the Lord Jesus is our Good Shepherd. We thank you that he has much to teach us and to tell us about who he is and about who we are. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to see the truth of Jesus' words to Mary, that she has indeed done the better thing, the one thing, the good thing, by spending time at his feet. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to see how we can choose that better portion, how we can choose you and spending time with you above all things, so that the rest of the things that you have called us to do, we can do with joy. We can do knowing that you are fueling us through your Spirit, and we are not trying to do things in our own works and in our own dependence. Lord, help us to depend on you as the better thing. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel. Little phrase from Rachel's talk. Be busy with the good portion of knowing Jesus. And to be busy with the good portion of knowing Jesus, we need to be unhurried. And Adrian mentioned this from the platform this morning, this book by Brian Croft, The Unhurried Pastor. And Rachel and I have both read it, really benefited from it. To be unhurried in spending time with Jesus, to be unhurried by sitting at his feet, getting off our own feet and sitting at the feet of Jesus so that we can know him better, so that we can grow in our understanding of him and of who he is and of what he wants from us and of what he gives to us to enable us to serve him and to live for him. Brian Croft, in his book, The Unhurried Pastor, he has three sections. He talks about preparation, he talks about power, and he talks about pursuit. And in preparation, he talks about recognizing our humanity, recognizing that we aren't God, that we are limited, that we don't have all the abilities that we would even want to have, that we have to depend upon him. He was talking about that this morning, wasn't he? And so we come before him in humility, recognizing that we don't have what is needed, that we don't have what it takes, that we need the Holy Spirit. And that drives us to be hopeful women, to be women who are expectant that God is going to work and even use us, even in our weakness, even through our weakness. So that's the first section, preparation. Then he moves on to talk about power. And if we need to know the Lord's power, we have to be aware of how we need it, where we need it. So we need to be self-aware. We need to spend time in contemplation before the Lord, knowing what's going on in our heart. I don't expect that Martha knew exactly what was going on in her heart. She was overtaken by that busyness of rushing around. And don't we get caught up in that too? We need to know what's going on in our heart, where the anxious thoughts are coming from. And we need to pray, don't we? We need to come before the Lord and to pray and to ask him to help us. So that's power. And then pursuit. And in this section, Brian talks about different areas where we need to put that emphasis in so that we are receiving from the Lord, so that we are receiving from the Lord Jesus. We need to be caring for ourselves. We need rest. We need silence in our lives, which is a really interesting section that he talks about. God's given us emotions, given us them for a purpose. And he's given us the wonderful gift of friendship with others. So we all need to embrace our humanity. We are fallible. We're vulnerable. We're dependent. Let that drive us to Christ. We need to know what's going on in our hearts rather than just pressing on and doing, doing, and doing. And we need to watch ourselves. We need prayer. We need sleep. We need friends. We need exercise. We need silence. We need emotions. Most of all, we need to be busy with that good portion of spending time with Jesus. And Brian writes, many of us spend time with Jesus in the morning only to move on into a work mode mentally for the rest of the day. By taking a few precious moments to pause and recenter yourself, you acknowledge both your limitations and the unlimited love and care that is waiting for you as you re-engage with Jesus. And don't we need to do that through the day, to re-engage with him, to center ourselves back on who he is? And so in your little, on your chairs, there's a little daily spiritual health plan, which we've adopted from a chapter in The Unhurried Pastor, from Ronnie Martin's chapter. And that has just got some helpful questions and reflections on how to recenter ourselves at different times in the day, morning, afternoon, and evening. But before you have a look at this, there are discussion questions in your handout on the back page. And if you'd like to turn in twos, threes on your rows to work through some of those questions and reflect on them, picking up on some of the things that Rachel's been able to draw out so helpfully for us from the chapter in Luke, from Luke 10. So we'll give you about a good a good 15 minutes to have a look at that, and then we'll just spend a little bit of time giving you time to look at the daily spiritual health plan. So enjoy sharing with one another as you work through those questions now. I hope you found those questions helpful, and it's good, isn't it, to be able to reflect on where we are at in our relationship with the Lord. And I think one of the themes that has really come through in our time together so far is that the Lord, he knows us, but he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him, and how wonderful and precious our Savior is. And he wants us to grow in our love for him and our understanding of him and our relationship with him. These things aren't to be a formula or a burden to follow. As you spend time with those that you love, you want to be with them, don't you? And we should want to be with our Savior. We should want to be growing in our understanding of him. The last question talked about what would help you grow in joy, effectiveness, and longevity in ministry. And the focus on daily rhythms of grace, and to think about God's grace, the way he gives to us what we don't deserve, and how can we grow in that daily, in a way in which we relate to the Lord. That's what the spiritual health plan is meant to help us to do. It's not to be something that we tick off every day, but it's something that helps us to keep coming back to the Lord, keep sitting at his feet, keep in his word, keep that spirit of thankfulness and of gratitude and of growth and dependence upon him. Rachel and I are always available if you want to email us or message us or get in touch with us through the website. And there are many other women who are able to help you too. It's not just us, but I hope the time together this afternoon has been a blessing to you. So let me just pray, and we'll close our time by coming before our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the way in which you invite us into your presence. Thank you that you are the good portion. Thank you that the boundary lines for us have fallen in pleasant places, and we do have a delightful inheritance. Thank you that you are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is just something which is so amazing. What riches we have in him. And we want to know our precious Savior more and more. And we pray that we would be drawn into your presence, not just in a functional way, but in a way which is life-giving to us and enriches us, so that we are able to do what you want us to do, to be directed by you, and to be able to show the Lord Jesus to those that we live with, those that we minister to, those that we rub shoulders with in all sorts of areas of life. And we long that you would use us even to bring others into a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which will last not just for now, but on into eternity. Thank you that one day we will not only talk to you, but we will see you. And thank you that we can look forward to that day with great hope and with great joy. So we pray that you would go with us now into the rest of our time together, and that you would bless those who will continue to minister to us today. Give them all that they need. Help us to be responsive to your word and to the work of the Spirit in our own lives, and strengthen us and equip us to serve you faithfully. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.